Good morning. It's a Tuesday morning, and we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, from the top of the New York Times this morning. A wildfire so big and hot it's affecting the weather. Spurred by months of drought and June's heat wave, the bootleg fire in southern Oregon is the largest wildfire so far this year in the U.S. Vortexes of fire and flames that leap over fire breaks are confounding firefighting efforts. There are even some indications of a rare fire tornado as this fire is growing, and they say it grows by miles each day, Alan. A sign of when you look at what's happening in the Northeast with the flooding, as well as in Germany and all the other extremes in weather. We keep saying it. I heard the BBC say it yesterday morning. The number one story is climate change.
It is climate change. You and I have been talking about this daily for a long, long time, and we will continue to do that. Because until we are forced to recognize that there is climate change, we will not do what's right in terms of rectifying the situation. And time is running out, that we know. The closer we come to this destruction, the more that people will have to realize what we are involved in and what is happening to us. And it is beyond our comprehension up until now, because obviously we're not doing enough. And as a society, we have a great deal to do in order to save ourselves. It's that simple.
Well, and a lot needs to be done in terms of infrastructure to deal with these extremes in weather. And we see President Biden wants spending to boost the economy from the AP, but GOP to block vote. President Joe Biden says his infrastructure and families agenda must be passed to sustain economic momentum. For a crucial week of congressional negotiations on two separate bills that would together spend over $4 trillion, but Senate Republicans are signaling they would likely oppose a procedural vote set for tomorrow on a bipartisan infrastructure bill. Don't the American people want something done?
They do. You know, the people in the Senate, for example, are caught between a rock and a hard place. We know that. They want to continue their careers. They want their granite plaque in the cemetery to say, here lies a United States senator. And they don't look into their souls and think about what they have to do to preserve our country so that every bridge is rebuilt so nobody falls into the water. We've seen that in the past, and maybe not for a little while, but it is a continuing threat. So here we have what the American people want. We have a bunch of cheap, tin horn, another comma, politicians who are more interested in their own political career and their names in the right place than anything else. And that's why we have the situation that we have right now.
Alan, let's talk about disinformation for a minute. President Joe Biden is tempering his assessment that social media giants are killing people by hosting misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccines on their platforms. Biden said Monday that he hopes the tech companies don't take his comments personally and instead act to save lives. Companies like Facebook defend their practices and say they're helping people around the world access verified information about the shots. But the White House says they haven't done enough to stop misinformation that has helped to slow the pace of new vaccinations in the U.S. to a trickle. And then there's this, a study from The Economist and YouGov, Alan, conducted last week. 20% of Americans believe in the conspiracy theory that microchips may have been planted inside COVID-19 vaccines that millions of people have taken worldwide.
A friend of mine used to quote the song, "Paranoia Will Destroy You." And it's right. This is a very tough time for the American people, those people who have committed themselves to a Trumpian-like philosophy will destroy themselves. We know that because 96% of the people who are being infected are, in fact, unvaccinated. So yesterday I used the word that some people took exception to, and so I won't use it today, but I will say it is really ignorant of those people not to do what they have to do to save themselves and save their families and save everybody around them. And yet, for some strange reason, they don't do it. Now, part of that is the information that they are getting. Some of it is over Facebook and some of it is in other places. Nevertheless, it is what it is. The idea of reaching out and identifying the major Facebooks and others as the culprits here is really missing the point. The point is that we as a society are badly broken, we're split, And people are willing to sacrifice their lives in order to stay with their philosophies. And that is really very sick. So what are you going to do, David? Are you going to say to Facebook, you can't and you won't put any information up there that is unsatisfactory in terms of the way that Joe Biden thinks or anybody else thinks? It's a tough one. We regulate our broadcasts like the one we're on right now. We don't regulate the newspapers. We don't regulate the Facebooks. That is where we are at. And then if you start to regulate who makes the decisions, who says you can use this, you can say this, you can't say that.
The second of two billionaires set to go up, up and away in a rocket ship today, Alan. That's Jeff Bezos, about to soar on his space travel company's first flight with people on board. The founder of Blue Origin, as well as Amazon, will become the second billionaire to ride in his own rocket. He blasts off this morning from West Texas with his brother, an 18-year-old from the Netherlands, and an 82-year-old female aviation pioneer from Texas. They'll become the youngest and oldest ever to fly. Virgin Galactic's Richard Branson, of course, went up earlier this month. We've talked about this. Even Bezos accepts the criticism of two billionaires racing to get to space.
Well, their rationale is if we do it, our companies will take off, space travel will become a reality, and that's why we're doing it. Is space travel going to become a reality? You bet it is. But is it a plaything for millionaires, or will it establish any scientific protocols that we can use in the future? We know that the space program has created all kinds of scientific breakthroughs. We don't know what this is going to do. It could be just nonsense, or it could really be the beginning of something new.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us.